The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Take your scripture, please, and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Actually, I want to go a little bit before what's listed, I think, in your order of service today. Go first, please, to 1 Kings 18. That would be the one immediately after 17, and just previous to that of 19. But 18 shall be the counting thereof. 1 Kings 18, and we'll start long about verse 36. As you're turning there, let me give you the context of the story. You probably already know the story. It's a big, colorful story about a showdown with the prophet and priests of Baal. And Elijah, who is God's prophet, is at work. And he is at work at a difficult time. The context is there has been a long drought in the country. They have been waiting for rain. And they have been looking to the horizon for rain clouds. And no rain is coming. And so Elijah has that on his shoulders because the people are expecting to hear from God. And Elijah is God's mouthpiece. God is speaking through Elijah. What's up with the drought, Elijah? There's also spiritual drought as well, because you know this is the time of Ahab and Jezebel, and the people are also double-minded. They have evil leadership. And so Elijah finally comes to the place where he says, all right, we got to have a showdown here. He didn't use the word showdown, but I'm going to use the word showdown. We can have a showdown between the forces of God and the forces of Baal. Baal is one of the fertility gods that were worshipped in the land at the time. And remember, even going back to the time when Moses came back down the mountain and Aaron and the people were doing a little bit of God worship and they were doing a little bit of golden calf worship, this theme of double-mindedness has continued in the children of Israel. And so he says, you know what? We're going to meet up. We're going to meet up at Mount Carmel, and I've been there, and by the way, one of the interesting things about it is that it's covered with tourists. It's hard to believe, but they're all there waiting to have their picture made with, it's ironic actually, lining up to have their picture made with a statue of Elijah slaying the prophets and priests of Baal. Just, it's ironic in some sort of way, but anyway, I had my picture made there too. I mean, what are we in line for? I don't know, it's a salad bar, I'm not sure. So they're going to have a showdown on Mount Carmel. Who you gonna call? Is it gonna be Baal or is it gonna be Yahweh? So starting in 1 Kings 18, let's go please first to verse 36. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Remember that the prophets and priests of Baal have been cutting themselves and working themselves up into a lather all afternoon, and no fire from heaven fell. And along the way, I love this part, Elijah is taunting them, saying, well, maybe you need to do that a little louder, or maybe your God's on vacation or gone to the bathroom or something. What's going on here? Actually, that is what it says. You need to maybe shout a little louder. Nothing happens. Elijah prays the simple prayer that I just read. Verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That'd be worth saying together. Let's do it. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. This is the colorful part. Don't let anyone get away. And they seized them. And Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered them there. Killed all of them. Can you imagine the bloody episode that that was? And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And the servant went up and looked. There's nothing there. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. And the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak in his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Let's keep going. Chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the... What a weasel. Isn't he a weasel? He runs to Jezebel and says, I got to tell you what happened. Let me tell you what Elijah did. And how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger, Elijah, to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. She sent him a love letter. Every pastor gets them. They usually arrive on Monday morning. Let me tell you everything I hated about the service yesterday. Except this time, Jezebel says, you mark my words. By this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like the servants, the prophets, the priests of Baal. You're a dead man. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now here comes an angelic visitor. Ready? All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So Elijah got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. The story begins with a mountaintop experience, with God showing up in a big way. Fire from heaven. Then he gets threatened with his life. And he goes a long, long way into the desert. And he arrives at another mountain. And God shows up here too. Look what happens. The word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And I can imagine that Elijah had prepared this speech. I can imagine that he had memorized it. I can imagine that during the days that he was walking into the desert, he thought, I may run into God, and if so, I need to have my little speech ready. I need to have my excuses ready. I need to have my statement ready. And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. I want you to notice that God doesn't answer any of that stuff. I want you to notice that God, well, seems to ignore that little speech. And this is what he says to him. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then you know the story. A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And this time he replied with the same speech. And though the Bible doesn't give us the tone and the inflection and the tempo, sometimes I wish the Bible's verses had little musical notations on it so we can see those kinds of things. I'll bet it went something like this. Notice that it's the same speech. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And look what God says. The Lord said to him, "Stay here with me." Is that what he says? The Lord said to him, "I see that you have been so zealous." Is that what he says? No. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go back the way you came." Epiclesis, goodbye. I'm leaving. And with this farewell address, I wanted to share with you the reasons for my absence and what I want to accomplish while I'm away and what I want you to accomplish during the same time and what we can expect when I get back, because I do plan to come back. Now, you never know what will happen, so I want to talk about that a little bit too. You never know, right? I may just decide that fish and chips are where it's at, and I need to stay. Number one, why am I leaving? Well, it's not because I'm scared. Elijah went off into the desert because he was scared. Look what Elijah had just seen and done. He had seen great signs and wonders. The confidence that he had on the top of that mountain, God moving in an obvious way. You say a simple prayer and God answers and Shazam, fire from heaven. It was amazing. And right now, wonderful things are happening in our church. Got to get an amen up in here this morning. Do you believe it? Or is that just kind of a yes? God is at work. As we say back home, Epiclesis is blowing and going. So why would I go now? Why go now? Well, I need a break. I need a break. I'm tired. I'm stressed. And I deal with the same kind of tiredness and stress that you do. One thing that I hear the women have been talking about in anticipation of their retreat next weekend, and I will be here next Sunday, though I'm saying this farewell address today because many of our folks will be away for the retreat next weekend, that the theme of tiredness is one that many of us are wrestling with right now. I'm tired. Some of you know that I struggle with depression, and I have for 25 years or so. And so sometimes the flow of that is good, sometimes it's hard. Nobody sends me ugly love letters on Monday mornings, but I've been in ministry 30 years, and I don't keep those things I used to. Isn't that dumb? I used to keep them, but they stack up over time, and I need to get away. But it's not because I'm afraid. Did you ever notice that Satan often attacks right after there's been something miraculous or wonderful or glorious? There's this fire coming down from heaven, and what does Elijah do? He orders that all the prophet and priests of Baal are massacred, and then he goes back to the top of the mountain, and that just hit me. Did you notice? He sat down and put his head down between his knees. Boy, I get that. Because I drive out of here on Sunday and I'm going, God is moving, it is wonderful. And Monday morning I'm going, did I do okay? That sermon was not really good. Oh, I could have said that better. Or I don't think I was very kind here or there. Or I need a break. What should I expect God to do for me while I'm gone? Well, I want you to look at verses 4 and following of chapter 19, and I think there's some things here that I'm going to hang on, Verses 4 and following. Well, it says, for example, that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He came to Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant behind, and while he went into the desert, he came to a broom tree, and under it there he prayed. Now, he prayed that he might die. I don't anticipate doing that. But I've been at the place in my ministry over the past 30 years where I'm going, take me now. I don't think any of this is working. You look at these churches over here, and then now I'm just drinking. And you begin to do that. Where you just take me now. None of this seems to be working. He prayed. He prayed by himself. He was alone. I got to tell you, I don't know if I know how to be alone. That's one of the reasons I need to go. This morning, I made up a weird song about the Bichon, sung to the tune of a Gordon Lightfoot song, and Sheila walks in. This is typical. Sheila walks in, and she goes, "Do you think it's safe for you to be alone?" So I'm going to be alone, and I think it's probably a good thing, because I'm not sure. I don't do that very well. I need people. I think I'm probably one of those extroverted introverts. You've heard about that. Somebody said, "How long are you going to be gone?" I said, "It's 2 months." And they said, "Oh, gee, that's kind of a short sabbatical." I said, "Are you kidding? I was thinking about it's really long." So that brings up a prayer concern, and we'll get to that in just a minute. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to expect to have my needs met by God. Did you notice that God provided an angel to give drink and food? God's going to take care of me. One of the ways he is doing that is through your generosity. You have been giving to us so that we can have a trip together. Sheila and I are going to be together for the first 2 weeks, and then I say goodbye to her, and then stretching out before me is this long sabbatical, and you have helped provide. I know that God will too, because I've counted on him, and I've seen it time and time again. I'm going to be alone. God's going to provide for me. I'm going to hope that he will ignore my little prepared, petty, narcissistic speech. Elijah said to God, "I've been doing real good," this is my translation, "and things have been really awful, and people have been yucky, and I'm the only person left serving you." And God mercifully ignored that. So I suspect that God will do the same for me. I hope so. I expect to hear from the Lord, and in a way that I might not expect. Did you notice that Elijah was here on this mountain, the second of two mountains, and these amazing things happened? It says the rock split open. Now, I know that God sometimes speaks in amazing ways to people. And sometimes it's rocks splitting open. That's not typically how he talks to me, but I know that it happens. And there was, what, a wind, right? Did you see that? And did you notice that there was also an amazing fire? Earthquake? My goodness. I'm praying, and this is another prayer request we'll get to in a minute, that I'll be sensitive enough to hear the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit. Being alone is a bit scary for me. Now, being in a foreign city doesn't bug me. I love to meet people. I don't meet a stranger, and I like to try new things. But I'm praying that I will hear from the Lord in a way that I might not have before. And did you notice at the end of that encounter, when God says again, "What are you doing here?" Elijah gives his little speech. But then God says, "Now, go back the way you came." I expect that's going to happen as well. What should you be doing in the meantime while I'm gone? Some of you, we'll get some examples here in just a second. Some of you are going to, in 2 months, go, "Did he go somewhere? I didn't notice. And it might be because you're only peripherally, is that a word, attached to the life of this church. And if I'm gone, you might notice, you might not. Some of you might go, "Oh my gosh, he does way too much, and I didn't realize that that didn't get done because Pastor Chris wasn't here to do it." There are going to be a variety of things. What I'm hoping, though, is some examples that we can see from Scripture. Look at verses 39 and 41 in the 18th chapter. 39 and 41. "When all the people saw this," that's when the fire fell down from heaven, "they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" You know what I expect you to do while I'm gone? Worship. I expect you to be the church. And you know what I found out after 30 years of working in the church and ministry? Sometimes the sweetest times in the life of the church is when the pastor is gone. It's amazing. I've been on staffs before where we're between pastors, And the drive from the pastor search committee is, we got to get somebody in here to give us the leadership and bring the vision. I got to tell you, that stuff is nonsense. It's nonsense because the pastor does not bring the vision of the church. That's baloney. You're not going to hear that at some of the big blowing and going churches, but I'm here to tell you that this notion of the pastor bringing the vision is nonsense. The Holy Spirit is the bringer of the vision to the church. And you are perfectly capable of sharing and listening and praying together to figure out where God is at work in this place. I expect you to do that. If my plane goes down in a fiery heap, don't you mourn for me. You rejoice that I am worshiping perfectly in heaven, and you keep right on until the day of his coming. You hear me? I expect you to be worshiping. What else happened? Look at verse 40. Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. Well, I expect you to go seize the prophets of Baal. Please don't behead them. But I want you to be at work. I want you to be doing the work of God. I want you to be pointing out where God's story is not being told. I want you to point out the places where the world is upside down. And I want you to work hard to upright them while I'm away. You need to be doing something. You need to be united around something, and that something and that person is the person and work of Jesus Christ and the ministries of the church. Notice that the people remained behind. Elijah's servant remained behind. Notice that it doesn't say explicitly, but you know that they enjoyed the rain. The rain came. Elijah didn't get to enjoy the rain. Elijah went a long way away. They stayed behind. They enjoyed the rain. Listen, I want you to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit while I am gone. He's going to be with me too. Be at work. Be at worship. Be at work with God and his purposes for uprighting the world. They triumphed over their enemies. God was still with them. Did they miss Elijah or pray for him? Probably. Did they skip church when he wasn't there? Maybe. Sometimes when here's a dirty little secret. I know none of you do this, but sometimes if you know that the pastor is not going to be there, you just skip church. You ever know anybody like that? Well, who's preaching today? Oh, it's the youth pastor. We better stay home. Oh, it's the children's minister. Oh, I hate that. Let's stay home. Remember this. Before the Mount Carmel episode, the people were double-minded. And how easy it would be to fall back into that. What keeps this church, Epiclesis, from being double-minded? Is it the pastor? No. I mean, I might help a little. But it's the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Together we are seeing and asking, God, where are you at work? Show us your wonders and power and your glory. And help us, Lord, to see how we need to be upriters of an upside-down world, the Holy Spirit. Another thing is, we have pastors and elders who are at work, and they have prepared for my being away by caring for you. And one of the things I wanted to tell you about today is that on the calendar, on the Epiclesis website, were you aware that we had a website? Yeah, epiclesis.org. And there's a calendar there, and on the calendar you will see that there is a pastor of the week and there is an elder of the week for each of the weeks that I am away. Who knows but that this might be so wonderful that we want to keep doing that after I return. I don't know. And if you have something that you need or you have something you need to talk to, what you're going to do is you're going to look at the calendar on the website and you're going to see, this week it's John Henderson. The elder of the week is John Henderson. Or Pastor Rick is the pastor of the week. Or Pastor Ellen is the pastor of the week. And you're going to get in touch with them and they're going to help meet your needs. I'm praying also that you should be listening to God and praying for me and praying for your elders and praying for and taking care of one another. Did you know that there's a church app that has everybody's picture and number on it? And all you have to do is go boop, 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 and there you are. You can call Mark Harrell and say, how was your week killing bugs? Did you do okay? You know how I call you out of the blue sometimes just to see how you're doing? You need to be doing that for each other. You know how you get a card from me sometimes on your birthday or anniversary? You need to be doing that for each other. Take care of one another. Here are some places I want you to pray for me. Can I list some prayer concerns? One of them is safety. I want to get there and I want to get back. One of them is safety. Another one is divine appointments. I love to meet people. It doesn't bug me if I'm on the London Underground and somebody talking about their life makes me miss my stop. That doesn't bother me at all. So safety, divine appointments. Another one is this, hearing from God. I want to hear from the Lord. And I want to hear if it's earthquake or fire or wind or whatever, I want to hear from the Lord. I want to learn better how to be alone, how to be by myself. I want to be refreshed. I wanted to tell you that the last couple of days of July and the first day of August, I will be at Oxford University. I have submitted a paper that they accepted for a religious institute seminar, and I'm going to be delivering a paper at Oxford University. That's the last couple of days of July, 1st of August. Pray for me. And I want you to pray for my wife and my family, and I'd like for you to take care of them while I'm away. Hey, Sheila, how are you doing? Are you really enjoying this respite? Does your yard need mowing? What should you be learning while I'm away? I listed some things. You should learn that I am not the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have held me in too high a regard. Do you find yourself sometimes putting your pastor on a pedestal? It happens. You can hold them in too high a regard. You can count on them too much. Maybe you've done that with me. Elijah perhaps was looked to as the one who provided the voice of God or the vision, and maybe he is the one who helps me hear from God. There's some truth to that. As your pastor, I want to help you hear from God, but I'm not the Holy Spirit and I'm not God. Maybe there are places, this is an uncomfortable one for me to talk about, but I would do so even if I were not the pastor and it was somebody else. It could be that some of you have held me in too low a regard. That's possible. It could be that we think of our pastors as hired hands. We pay them to do this thing so they can go do that. Or maybe Elijah seems so good at his job that people didn't really think about him being afraid or depressed. I often say to Sheila on the way home, how'd I do? And she said, well, it was great. It was always great. And I want to hear something. And she's amazed that someone who seems to have it together could be depressed or sad or second guess oneself. Don't let Elijah be alone. A prophet's job is a lonely one. Finally, what should we do when I return? Look at verse 15, would you? The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. I love that, don't you? God didn't say, well, here, sugar bear, let me take you to this sweet little way. There's a tram you can get back on. Here's a flight you could catch. Of course, I am going to be flying. But he says, go back the way you came. I want you to go back through the stuff that you already saw. And I'm going to bet you that you see it in a different way this time. Can I get an amen? I want you to go back the way you came. Now, this is going to cause us to speculate a little bit. But what do you think that Elijah and the people talked about when he got back? What do you think? They probably talked about God. Yeah, what else? When the fire came down. Oh, you remember that time on Mount Carmel? Yeah, what else do you think they might have talked about? Elijah probably shared about the angels visiting him. I'll bet they reminisced on the time they were double-minded. I'll bet they reminisced on what God did in the long ago. I'll bet they reminisced about the fire coming down and so on. But I'm going to also bet you, and this is also speculation, that they majored on two things. What God did while we were apart, what he said, and what he's going to do now that we're back together again. That's what I'm hoping that we major on when I come back in September. Let me tell you what God did while I was away. What about you? Tell me. And I wonder what he's going to do with us now. I have a feeling, I'm praying for this, that you and I will have changed over the next couple of months. I'm hoping so anyway. And for the better. And that God will use this marvelous growth for his purposes at Epiclesis. I'm going to bet that he does that. I want you to seize this opportunity, because I'm going to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your servant Elijah and what we can learn from him this time that he went away. And Lord, I pray for me that as I depart here in a couple of weeks from this part of the body of Christ, that you will use the experience both for me and for this flock for the better. So that when we get back together again, we will have grown and we will have a wonderful time sharing about how that growth has changed us. We'll be quick to give you the credit for all of it. You're doing a wonderful thing here at Epiclesis, Lord. I thank you for it. Bless all of us now this summer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.